Hey everyone, welcome into another episode of A Must-Win Game. So glad to have you. On today's show, Chris Rose is here. He hosts Baseball Today and Dugout Discussions, both as a part of the John Boy Media Empire. He's also on NFL Network, and he was recently at Dallas Cowboys camp. So he talked to Jerry Jones, Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, everyone. We'll get his opinion on why there is so much optimism right now around the Dallas Cowboys. Not sure if you've noticed this like I have. Something that I want to put out to the audience before we get to the interview. At one point, I asked Chris about this interview that Pete Crow Armstrong, the all-star for the Chicago Cubs, did with reality TV star and former wife of Jay Cutler, Kristen Cavallari. And she asked him, what's your most unpopular opinion? He said, there is a thought, or he's heard a theory, that Babe Ruth never existed. That this is like a story, I guess, a made up person like Paul Bunyan. I'm not sure exactly why he thought Babe Ruth never existed, but because there's very little video of Babe Ruth and because not many people today were alive to see Babe Ruth, that somehow he's just this invented sort of fairy tale character. Anyway, I'd like to know what your most unpopular opinion is. And if we could not have it be political, I think that would help everybody. Mine, I will tell you later on in the pod. And it gets people mad, very mad. And Chris Rose was also taken aback by my unpopular opinion. So that's a little deeper into the podcast. So again, leave your unpopular opinions. If you could keep them non-political, I would very much appreciate it. And I'll read the best ones on next week's pod, or later this week, excuse me. Without further ado, Chris Rose. Chris, I've been fighting with people on social media for the last 48 hours, and I want to know what side you land on. If the Dodgers do not win the World Series now, that's a massive disappointment to me, considering they got Skubal at the deadline. Do you see it that way?
Well, yeah, I think if you ask any of those players, and I have, the season's a massive disappointment, regardless of whether they picked up Tarek Skubal. I mean, their goal is to win a third straight World Series. So the goal hasn't changed. Has it gotten easier? I think so. I mean, I think anytime you can get, if not the best starting pitcher in baseball, one of them, and prevent him from going to one of your rivals that could knock you out in October, good job by you. But I mean, the goal hasn't changed. I mean, it's not like there's more pressure on the Dodgers now. There was always pressure on the Dodgers. That hasn't been altered.
Are you taking the Dodgers now or the field?
Because of the sport, I'd still take the field. I mean, we have to remember, they're one Jeff Hoffman hanging slider away from not being the defending World Series champs. You know, everybody's saying, gosh, you know, this is why I don't watch baseball. Really? Well, then too bad. You missed one of the great World Series we've had in the last three decades, season ago. Games 6 and 7 were as good as 6 and 7 as we've had in a while, right? Both games were amazing, memorable. And yes, the Dodgers ended up winning consecutive World Series, but the journey to get there, if you're a baseball fan, I don't know how you can say you didn't enjoy what we saw last year. And I don't think that it's going to be a cakewalk. Everybody assumes that in this sport, well, they've added Tarek Skubal. They're already great. They're going to get, you know, Glasnow and Snell back, and Edwin Diaz has returned now. So they're going to be full go by the time of October. Maybe they will be. Maybe they won't. Shohei might not throw a pitch in the month of October. And as I said, weird stuff happens in this sport. So it's not as simple as like having four great players in the NBA and we call it a day. It's just not.
I still think super teams, though, are generally good for sports. I don't know where you land on that, but I think villains, super teams, dynasties, I think all that stuff is good because it gives you, you know, you're either rooting for the dynasty or you're rooting for the dynasty to fall. And I saw that you gave like a pretty impassioned plea to teams like the Brewers, go harder when you see an opportunity to try to get someone like Skubal. Since you sort of gave that impassioned plea for or the Rays, for example, to go harder for Skubal. Don't be so precious about your prospects. What's been the reaction?
Very split. A lot of people saying, stupid, you don't understand small market teams. Hello. Actually, I do. I'm wearing a Cleveland Guardians cap. I have lived through it. And the reason I picked Milwaukee, people think I'm picking on Milwaukee and Tampa. No, I am praising them for putting themselves in a position to where they, where I think one player like Derek Skubal might be the difference. Like, to me, hands together. Great job by Matt Arnold and Eric Neander, the two architects in Milwaukee and Tampa Bay, respectively, to consistently put their teams in position, particularly with what's happened with the Brewers. They're going to make the playoffs for the eighth time in 9 years. But do you really want to have great regular seasons, win the Prospect Olympics, and call it a day? Like, I don't think so. And also, here's the thing where I think people get a little misguided when it comes to hoarding prospects. If you are good at drafting and developing, so that means through the major league draft, as we have right now, and also picking up international free agents, where you can start doing that at the age of 16 for now, I still believe, you can continue to build a great team. Just because you trade away a few of them doesn't mean that you don't get to replace them. It means that it's your job to find the next group of kids. Not every prospect ends up playing on your stadium grass. You can use them, and people say, well, it's not worth it for a two-month rental. Really? Okay, Brewers fans, if you end up winning your first ever World Series with Derek Skubal, and then he goes signs with the Dodgers or the Mets or whomever he does in the offseason, you're telling me it wouldn't have been worth it? Because I'll tell you right now, you don't have as good a shot right now as you did before the Dodgers traded for Derek Skubal.
I also would just tell them, look how fondly they look back on the CC Sabathia trade.
Totally.
I mean, Sabathia went in the Hall of Fame, and like, that was a big part of his induction, you know, was talking about what he did in Milwaukee and how massive that was and how that kind of like created the sort of legend of CC Sabathia, or contributed to it for sure. And yet is it weird to say this because I can't wrap my brain around it, but are some of these teams saying the juice is not worth the squeeze of actually winning the championship? Like, they just want to be a playoff contender. Because, well, I'll tell you what, the Yankees get accused of this all the time. So sometimes it's not even about the small market. It's like no one, you know, it seems like the Dodgers are the only team that really want to push themselves over the edge.
Yeah, but it goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of this, and that it's really difficult to win a World Series. Things have to break right. You could have your pitching lined up in a five-game series, and every starting pitcher, if they make 30 starts a year, there's five where they're going to be unhittable. There's three where they're not going to have any idea what happened between the bullpen and the mound. And then there's a bunch where it could be a coin flip. Like, they could feel good, but the other team was just better, or you feel a little crappy and somehow you put it together. Well, what if one of those days happens to you in October? It has happened to legendary, great, great pitchers in postseason play, and things don't go right. And so they'll say, well, that huge move we made, man, we just gave up 6 years of control of this kid that could help us for a couple months of that guy, and then he stunk in October. Like, it is a risk. I'm not saying it's not a risk, but for every tale about that, every tale about, you know, people circle back and they'll say, well, the Rays, what happened if they had traded for Shohei Ohtani in 2023 and given up Junior Caminero? Where would they be right now? You know what? I'll be honest with you. They'd be probably right where they are. They probably just would have developed somebody else. Junior Caminero is a wonderful, wonderful baseball player. I'll give you two other instances, because you can shape the narrative any way you want. For every Junior Caminero, I can give you an Andrew Miller. Now, he wasn't a strict rental when my Indians picked him up in 2016, but we gave up like Clint Frazier, Justice Sheffield, who were two of our top three prospects, and then two other guys, none of whom ended up helping the Yankees for the most part. Andrew Miller helped the Indians get to the World Series. He was the ALCS MVP, and yes, we did have him the next year, so there's a difference. But my point is that if you're a good enough organization, you're going to regrow the prospect farm. You just are.
Did the Yankees do enough at this deadline, and how are you viewing New York after all the stated things they wanted? Bullpen, catcher, they didn't get any of that. Instead, right. They kind of doubled up on positions that they were already pretty stacked at.
I was a little surprised they didn't add a bullpen arm. Catching market, I mean, look, they saw two come to their division that are having really, really good years. And I understand the frustration for them, but let's boil this down to what it needs to be. If Aaron Judge does not come back, and we don't, you know, everybody's like, oh, he'll be fine in September. That's a tricky injury. And one that's all the way up here. I hope he's okay because he's such a difference maker. But it doesn't matter who's behind the plate. If 99's not right, then it's a problem. This is a wonderful starting rotation that they've got. Wonderful. They should have added one more arm in the bullpen, I think. And I don't know who else they could have gotten. I don't know if they could have gotten Tyler Stevenson from the Reds. I don't know if they could have gotten Jonah Heim from the A's. But, yeah, they should have upgraded at catcher is my guess.
Where are you putting the Red Sox now with the addition of Adley Rutschman?
Pretty good. I mean, I know that they gave up a lot for him, and they gave up a lot for Miller out of the bullpen in San Francisco. But I'm just dealing with the present day. Like, I don't care about what the prospects turn into down the road, because to me, the question is, can the moves you make help you win this year? That's just what I'm focusing on right now. I thought they had a really good day. I really did. And just the way that they won 23 of their last 27 or some ridiculous number like that. If you were to do the power rankings in the American League, I would be hard pressed with present construction right now. We're not saying, well, this guy's coming back and that guy's coming back, because I don't want to play doctor. Present day, I would say that they're number two behind Tampa.
I'm not sure if you saw this, but Pete Crow Armstrong was on a podcast with Kristen Cavallari. I'm not really sure who put these two together. I don't know if he's a fan of hers. I mean, I watched The Hills. I don't know if you did, Chris. She asked for his most unpopular take, and he said it's possible that Babe Ruth didn't exist.
Yeah.
Now that's something. I remember when Adam Ottavino got crucified for saying he could strike out Babe Ruth on three pitches.
Yes.
They like brought him into ESPN, like put him on First Take or something. Mm-hmm. Like, defend yourself.
Right.
What do you make of Pete Crow Armstrong? He didn't say he believed it necessarily, but he said a most unpopular opinion. Like, he's given it some thought that Babe Ruth didn't exist.
Yeah, I love PCA. I think he's great. I love talking with him every time I can. I had a very old set of parents. My parents were born in 1928. They saw Babe Ruth play. Next question.
Did you text him that? Can you tell him he was alive? Just because you didn't see him or he wasn't on video.
I think he knows that Babe Ruth existed. I think he's just having fun at everybody's expense.
Okay, so he's in on the joke. Because I can tell you, my most unpopular opinion gets people really mad at me. I don't know if I can tell you what it is.
What do we got?
I think that donuts and bacon smell better than they taste.
Bacon I can go with because of the way it's cooked. It has to be crispy, fatty. Undercooked bacon is not even worth getting anywhere near your body. I will disagree massively on donuts. Sorry, Maggie.
Dude,
you're not.
I'm almost thinking
of cutting the conversation short based on what you just said, because I was a donut hoe back in the day. I'm going to be honest with you. Every day in high school, during a break, I would go down and get two chocolate sprinkled donuts because they had available for snack. I don't know why we did this at my snot-nosed private school in suburban Cleveland, Ohio, but they always brought in donuts, and I would have two chocolate sprinkled donuts every day, and I miss them terribly. I know it looks like I've been eating them every day since then, but I'm just telling you,
Not true, but I'm glad that's a habit you have not kept up because you'd probably be with Babe Ruth right now if you still were eating those donuts. I live next door to a place in New York City called the Donut Plant. Lived right next door. The smells coming out of that place would make you like you'd have a new religion. Your new religion would be donuts. And then I'd go in there and I'd get one and it wouldn't taste nearly as good as the smell that was getting piped out of there.
Well,
This is where I got the take.
that sounds more like a sensory overload issue than the actual, if you lived cross town from this donut factory, it would be different. Don't you have a son, right?
I do.
Okay. What does he say?
Loves donuts. He's seven. He's on a strict donut bacon only diet.
Okay, good for him. Yeah, how old is he?
Seven.
Yeah, he's got a few years. Wait till he becomes like on the precipice of teenagedom. Then, we can cut that out. Then we can clean up his diet. But let him have a few more years to really rock and roll with this.
I know you only have a couple more minutes, so I want to make sure that we get to the Dallas Cowboys because you were there for camp with NFL Network. You did a fantastic job. You got every stack. You got Jerry Jones, CeeDee Lamb. That's just who I saw online. I'm sure you talked to even more people. Something is happening with Cowboys optimism right now. Can you explain it from being boots on the ground? How do they look?
Yeah, usually I come from the camp that we talk too much about the Cowboys, that in the linear TV world, we just mention their name and all of a sudden everybody's ears perk up. So all the executives are always like, well, you have to talk about them every 15 minutes. I think they're worth talking about this year. I really do, because I think they're fascinating to see whether or not they have improved the defense enough, just enough. They don't have to go from 30th to 8th, but they got to go from 30th and dead last in points allowed to middle-ish of the road to give Dak and that offense a chance. There's a really good possibility that the offense will return all 11 starters. There's a question about whether or not Guyton should stay at left tackle, and if not, if they have to move Smith from inside to outside. And I know that they don't want to do that. And the day actually we were there, where they had not put pads on yet, but Guyton looked like he was moving pretty well. Injuries and penalties have kind of been his bugaboos first couple of years. The question is the defense going to be good enough? Well, they've got this 34-year-old new defensive coordinator in Christian Parker that came over. He was learning the last couple of years under Vic Fangio in Philadelphia, helped them win a Super Bowl. He was working in the secondary. He was their defensive pass game coordinator. And they love the offensive dudes love him. I mean, they're like, we like his energy. And let's remember, he's their fourth, Dallas's fourth different defensive coordinator in the last 4 years. They went old head Quinn, they went old head Zimmer, they went old head Eberflus, and they bring in this young guy who's never called defensive snaps in his life. And I think he's going to provide a new renewed energy. Now, the question is, can the players match what he is bringing? Because we could say every great thing we want about a 34-year-old defensive coordinator, but if they don't have the talent, I don't give a damn who is organizing your defense. I think they've done a better job. First of all, Quinnen Williams is ridiculous, and I think him being there from the onset will help set the tone. Caleb Downs, I'll tell you this, that during positional drills, Parker was with him every step of the way. They know how important he is going to be to turn this defense around. They're not bringing him along just like any other first-round pick. They are like, dude, we need you from the word go. Sunday night, in the Meadowlands, we need you. So I do believe that they're going to have a chance to win that division.
Last one for you, and it's because you're so diehard Cleveland. What do you think of this quarterback battle that's going on between Deshaun Watson and Shedeur Sanders? And now we're seeing, Todd Monken say some nice things about Dylan Gabriel.
Right.
Who do you think wins this job?
Well, oddly enough, I actually call the Browns preseason game, so I'm very excited about it because Monken said that he's going to have to play his starters, which he will. He's going to. On a personal front, I would like to see them go with Shedeur, only because I think this is going to be Watson's last year. And I think with Shedeur, it's still kind of a roll of the dice. People could say whatever they want. I think he should have been a first rounder. He should have definitely been a second rounder. He was a fifth rounder. Facts are facts. That's what he is. So we're past that now. Now, how good a football player can you be when you're getting the time with the ones like he is this year. I want to see it. I think he's got some skills. I think he's got some limitations. But can he show enough to the point where they don't have to go quarterback definitively with their two first-round picks next year and have to move up or move around the board? To me, I think that's the smart play, and I think it actually will give them a better chance to win, in part because that team believes in him. That's a part of this whole thing that people don't talk enough about. The dudes there like him a lot. That's part of this equation.
So you haven't gotten a Cleveland Browns jersey with Manning on the back of it in anticipation of Arch?
I stopped buying jerseys a long time ago, in part because I was sick of not fitting in them from year to year. So I let my kids, hey, my oldest son is 25 now. In 2017, was it 2017? I think so. Yeah, it was. He calls me as I'm on the draft desk right after we drafted DeShone Kizer. He goes, Dad, that's it. That's the miss. I was like, dude, come on. I really want a DeShone Kizer jersey. Well, we talked about it. We got it for him, and I said, that is yours. That's the jersey you're wearing. So a couple of years ago, we're at the Browns-Rams game out here in 2023. We're down on the field ahead of time. J.W. Johnson, who's the president of the Browns, he comes down, says hello, and he looks at Josh, and he goes, what jersey is that? I said, turn around, and it's Kizer. And he goes, oof, you are a fan. And I explained to him, I'm making him wear that thing until it's got holes in it. So just remember, if you're ever getting a jersey for your kids, you make them wear that thing. That is their decision. He's going to be wearing that stuff until he's 48.
Chris, it is not good when the president of the team says oof about one of the former quarterbacks that you drafted. If that's not the most Cleveland Browns story, I don't know what else there is.
He knows. All good.
DeShone Kizer. Well, all right. Chris, thanks for doing this. I know it's a super busy time of year, but it's always fun to catch up. And I hope that we can talk again as the NFL season gets underway.
Absolutely. And I hope your son enjoys that box of donuts that he's going to be consuming on a daily basis.
I was going to say, I never asked for your unpopular opinion. You got anything that rivals Babe Ruth was not alive?
No. Never existed? Kind of stunned me. That was like an uppercut with the donut comment. So I might have something for you next time, but right now I'm kind of woozy.
Well, you know what? You get a sugar rush from the next chocolate donut. You'll get back on the horse. Thanks,
chocolate
Chris.
Sprinkle.
You're the best.
Chocolate. Thanks.
Okay, so that's going to do it for the pod. Again, leave your unpopular opinion. You already heard mine. I think the bacon and donuts smell better than they taste. This gets people very mad at me. But bacon in the pan, when it's frying, smells up the whole house so good. But then you taste it, you eat it, and sometimes it's not that great. Sometimes it's mushy. Sometimes it's fatty. Sometimes it's just not giving all that the smell is giving your brain. And I'll stand by it with the donuts. Lower East Side of Manhattan, I lived next to a place called the Donut Plant for about 5 years. The Donut Plant smelled incredible. And every time I would go in and finally break down and get a donut, it never tasted as good as it smelled. And one day I was in there and I saw former UConn star Emeka Okafor, and I wish I had asked him the same thing. I'll have to live with that regret. So that's going to do it for another episode of A Must Win Game. If you could, and if you're watching this on YouTube, please, please hit the subscribe button. It's a very small thing. It helps me out a ton. And of course, you can follow me on social media at Maggie Gray on Twitter, at Maggie Talks Sports on Instagram, same on TikTok. And of course, A Must Win Game on YouTube. Thanks, everyone.